Yeah. There's a deck of yeah for to start hour number three. Because it's Friday. I'm walking it off on this Friday for a couple of weeks. If you're just joining us now, yes, I said it. There are two things that are official. In descending order of importance, I am off for 2 weeks. Yes, I know. I just had 2 weeks. But I just worked 2 weeks. So I've got a two-week vacation, which starts in an hour. Also, of note, this announcement in, Silk is running for Huntington Beach City Council.
Bruh.
He's not officially on the ballot yet, but he's setting it up. He needs to get enough signatures. He has his first three. He wants to run against Tito Ortiz and whoever else is there. And when I said, bruh, is this just a troll and a pub grab? He made a rather impassioned plea about, hey, man, this is where I'm from. This is where I live. This is the community I'm a part of. I want to improve it. I'm all in. So that is also official. It's not he's not officially on the ballot. He's officially trying to get on the ballot. What's also official is I've got an interview with Daniel Bard next segment. And then the last segment on hour number three is always busy. This is your last chance to get through if you want to talk to me over the next 2 hours or next 2 weeks. 1-800-636-8686. Very quickly, some reaction, and then I want to talk some golf. Sarah T is in. What's up, Sarah? Sarah writes, Silk will be the IKEA of town council. He won't work and has a few missing screws. City council, not town council. It's good to see you, though, Sarah. What's cracking? Pauly T. Wall is in. Make Huntington Beach gray again. Signed, Silk's Soul Patch. It's good. It's kind of clever. PJ in the Mile High tweets, very sick career move, brah. Signed, Dasmati. It's a bad take. Silk is a substitute teacher running for political office. That's a good move. It's a good move because he's trying to give back and make the community better. I'm not judging Dasmati. I'm just saying that Dasmati took a job that most of you listening would cut off a digit for. He had it. He was well-liked here. He was respected here. He's got a good head of hair. And he gave, I mean, this is a hard seat to get into. And he gave it all up, not to get his own show, not to make a vertical move within the industry, or even a lateral move. He got out of the industry so he could work for, I don't know, the city of Alhambra? Monterey Park? I don't even know what the hell the kid's doing. So that's not an apt comparison. Chael Jr. can't believe what Dasmati did. I'm just kidding, Chael. Chael's awesome. Chael still blows us up all the time. He's constantly hassling Hawk, giving us takes.
I don't even have big nipples. Like, let's be real.
1-800-636-8686. I guess it depends on what your definition of big is. I guess it depends on what your definition of a pepperoni is. All right, anyway. Just riffing on a Friday. So if 2020 in the jungle has been the year of the bra, and it must be because he just announced that he's running for city council, 2020 on the PGA Tour has been the year of the BDC. Bryson DeChambeau, the mad scientist. Remember, he went into the protein lab during quarantine, and he emerged 30 pounds heavier and 30 yards longer. And all he's had to show for that new bulk up is 4 top 10s in 5 events and a win in Detroit at the Rocket Mortgage Classic. So everything this guy did on the bench has been working on the track. But just because his body underwent this seismic change does not mean that his personality has. And if Patrick Reed is public enemy number one, then the dude glossed Chrisen DeChambeau is not that far behind. Now, don't get it twisted. I'm not golf fan at large. I don't sit at home blasting living room four irons into a net with Bryson's mug taped to the bullseye. In fact, I go the other way. I dig this dude. I dig this dude because he's different. Different is good, especially in a sport that has been pretty damn homogenized ever since the first peg was put into the ground in Scotland back in the 15th century. But I do understand why a lot of people hate this guy. And those Bryson haters got a syringe, a premium haterade, plunged right into their veins yesterday during the opening round of the St. Jude at TPC Southwind in Memphis. If you missed it, BDC was on a heater playing his first 14 at 4-under. But then he fan-blocked a drive on number 7, which he was playing as part of his back 9. He found his ball under a tree, resting on a root, sandwiched between a couple of fallen branches. One of the worst lies in the game of golf. It's impossible to make clean contact because the first thing that the club and the ball are going to hit are the two branches on either side of his Bridgestone. But we're talking about BDC here. And if he can bring an already slow game to a grinding halt and then find a way to loop the rules to his advantage, he's going to do it. We know this guy. You know, just like he did 2 weeks ago at the Memorial when he asked to hop a fence to hit a ball that had gone OB, only to be told that he couldn't before asking for a second opinion en route to making a 10 and getting cut from the tourney. That's why I said earlier, his body may have changed, but his mind has not. And yesterday, that same mind was firing on all cylinders as it scrambled to negotiate a free drop. So this here is Bryson talking to a rules official about getting relief from what he had determined to be, quote, burrowing animal stuff. Check out this exchange.
I know there's burrowing animal stuff here, especially ants. I see a red ant right here. I'm stepping right on it. So you got, I don't know what this is, but then you got, there's some holes right here with ants in it coming out of it. There's an ant.
I mean, this is incredible. It really is. Like, now, in fairness, there are, in fact, USGA rules about, quote, burrowing animals and animal holes on the golf course. Except those rules are in place for squirrels, chipmunks, gophers, not a single fire ant that Bryson thinks he saw. But you know this dude. He's going to work his angle. He's going to work his hustle because this is who this dude is and what he does.
It looks like an ant hole or ant area.
I just don't see, Bryson, I don't see a couple down there. Those aren't, I don't see fire ants.
Well, there was one that scrimmed up through over here. It was here.
Incredible. That other voice that you just heard is the rules official being as nice and as professional as he can to a tour pro who is angling for relief from a couple of ants in an ant hole near his hole. In fact, that tour official just said, you know, Bryson, I don't see these ants. And Bryson said, well, there was one up here. An ant. He's looking for a drop, a free drop over an ant. Well, a red ant. Notice the rules official is not buying it, but Bryson, he's just not done. Because Bryson determined that the ant hole should be upgraded to an animal hole.
Anything right there? What is this thing? There's two of them.
No, it's just an animal hole. I don't see anything to say identified as what it is or you know that it's an animal hole. In that situation.
I mean, okay. All right. Guys. There's a red ant coming out of it right there.
Wow, dude. Like, I respect that so much. That is so absurd. I have to respect it. Hey, rule official, that's an animal hole. Yeah, but Bryson, I don't see any animals coming out of that. There's an ant coming out of it. Dude, ants aren't animals. Like, Bryson, I know you're smarter than all of us. I know you're the smartest guy in the room. But, dude, are you really trying to convince us that that ant is an animal? That ant is a member of the animal kingdom? And it's getting in the way of your ball and your swing. You're acting like that ant is a rhinoceros. Hey, man, what are you, blind? It's a freaking elephant right there with my lie. That is an that is an all-time con right there. That is so egregious and so wrong. You have to respect it. The mad scientist is literally pointing to a single ant coming from an ant hole, no bigger than a thumbtack, and he's looking for relief from the rules official. Keep in mind, said ants or ant or an entire 5 feet away from his ball. The ball is lodged between two branches on a tree root. So my guy's working hard, so hard that his caddy decided to step in and take up the fight for him.
But what's the ruling?
Well, it's either a hole or it's not. I mean, an animal.
Is that a hole?
An animal hole or not. So it's definitely a hole.
Is it an animal hole? I don't see it as that. Well, how big does it have to be to constitute an animal?
No, I mean, you have different sizes for, you know, it doesn't have to be,
To me, it's a burrowing animal hole.
He just said, well, how big does it have to be to constitute being an animal hole? I can answer that. Big enough for a freaking animal to come out of it. Quote, to me, it's a burrowing animal hole. All right, maybe it's a matter of semantics. I don't think ants burrow. Because they're ants, man. They're this big. Burrow. A burrowing animal. To everybody else, that burrowing animal hole is an ant hole with no infringement on the shot. At that point, the rules official, who had been extremely courteous and cordial, had seen enough of this dog and pony and ant show.
I mean, it doesn't interfere with your stance, regardless anyway. But it's not an animal hole.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
I mean, that rules official could not have handled that any better. He listened, and said, "Look, it's not all right." So what that was really was a fun 5 minutes from the biggest, swollest, most jacked dude on tour, going all Zoolander on a couple of fire ants.
What is this?
A center for ants!
But now my man's got to face reality. Now he has to hit the shot from hell, which went like this.
Literally goes the exact opposite way I think it's going to go.
What, the shot or the ruling? Or both? Because everybody knew you were not going to get that drop from an ant 5 feet from your ball. Just like everybody, including you, BDC, knew that shot was effed the minute you rolled up on it. Which is why he worked so hard to sell that ant was an animal. So Bryson would go on to double bogey the hole, which is honestly an improvement from the last time he made 10 during a rules dispute a couple of weeks back. Now, don't misinterpret this. I did a whole take on this. This does not mean that I don't like this guy. Quite the opposite. I know a lot of golf fans hate this guy. Not me. Something about shamelessly trying to hustle a free drop because of an ant or three and an ant hole 5 feet from your ball is hilarious to me. Even if most people in golf don't find that kind of thing hilarious at all. That to me was hilarious, especially since the tour had a boom mic right on him the entire time. You see, BDC, he doesn't care. And that's what I like about this guy. He doesn't care. He knew he was on TV. He knew he was going to go viral for all the wrong reasons, that he was going to try and make an argument that an ant was a burrowing animal. And he's still out there selling it, trying to get relief from an ant. Man, that takes some stones. Let's just hope this guy doesn't encounter any gnats or ladybugs within a 3-block radius today. Actually, let's hope he does. I want to see his angle for free drops as much as I can. Here's to another entertaining walk around the track in Memphis today, my man. Way to work it. Way to work it. I mean, you never had a chance of getting it, but way to work it.
There's a red ant coming out of
respect.
It. Right there.
You see that? That red animal, that red ant right there. Can I get my relief, please? When we come back, Rockies pitcher Daniel Bard is my guest. You're about out of time. You're not out of time, but you're about out of time. I've got a guest. I've got the week that was. I've got the ATP. I've got a huge call, but I do have a small window still. 1-800-636-8686. We're talking baseball with Daniel Bard next.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
You might think you don't have time to wax your car. Well, 303 Touchless Sealant is a quick and easy solution. Simply spray on and rinse off. It's that easy. Get the ultimate protection and shine in no time whatsoever. It's available at O'Reilly Auto Zone and Advanced Auto Parts. Visit 303radio.com for more information. All right, so as I'm efforting Daniel Bard, really quickly, quick digital programming note for everybody with a smartphone or an internet-connected computer. As of this week, this is really good news. I'm really excited about this. As of this week, all of my on-demand audio from this show and the original content podcast is now available on Spotify. I repeat, everything we do here and on the Side Hustle podcast is now available on Spotify. I'm pumped about that. If you're a Spotify user, all you have to do is search Jim Rome on the Spotify app. All of our content is going to come right up. Best part of this is that the audio is free, so is Spotify. So if you ever miss a show or a segment or an interview, you can go back and find it all on Spotify. Same goes for the original content podcast. So if you're an Android user without iTunes or an Apple user who had trouble finding the pod, just head on over to Spotify. It's on Spotify right now. Spotify, obviously one of the very best places to be. Everybody has it and has had it for a long time. If you don't, you're missing out. Download it for free on your phone right now. Use your desktop. If you have to, go to Spotify.com. Both work. Both work great. So now, we've got live content on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, JimRome.com, SiriusXM 206. If you miss any of it live, you can find it on iTunes, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, JimRome.com, and now Spotify. Simply put, we are everywhere with everything all the time, live and on demand, and Spotify is now carrying it. We are joined right now by a relief pitcher for the Colorado Rockies. 1-0, 2.7 ERA, 1.2 whip, and averaging nearly a strikeout per inning this season. Saturday's win was his first since 2012. He was the 28th pick overall in 2006 out of North Carolina. The Rockies are in first in the NL West. They're 4-1. They're hosting San Diego at 8:10 p.m. Eastern. This really is a fascinating story. My guest is Daniel Bard. Daniel, great to have you on the show. How are you?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
Really good to have you. In fact, I want to rephrase that. Given what's going on in the world right now, before we get into this season and your amazing story, like, what's it like for you? How are you and everybody around you doing during this really unusual time?
We're good, man. I got married with three little kids, so we kind of just had to be careful in that way and, you know, pulled them out of school and all that stuff. So it's been a weird summer in a lot of ways, but everyone's good. It's close to me, so just trying to keep it that way.
All right, good to hear it. So people can fully understand your story and what you've accomplished this season. Take me back to when you were with the Red Sox. You were a first-round pick in 06. By 2010, you were absolutely dominating the American League with an ERA of 1.93 in nearly 75 innings. At that point, what was the game like for you?
Man, it was fun. It was, you know, as far as just the pitching side, it was, you know, I don't want to say easy. The game's never easy. But as far as just, you know, your mind's in a good place, you're feeling, you know, getting into that flow of the game every time you're out there, trusting your stuff, making adjustments easily. You know, if you do have a rough outing or one where you give up a couple, you bounce back from them quickly because that's just the space that your head's in. And it was fun, man. It was a lot of fun. Doing it in Boston is as good as any place to do it.
All right, so your numbers were still good the next year, and then by 2012, things started to slip. You spent some time in the minor leagues with the Rangers, the Cards, the Mets. What was that period like?
It was tough, man. It was kind of a quick fall from kind of at the end of 11 into 12. Tried to start for a little while. That didn't work out. I had some other issues going on. But, yeah, I mean, you're battling control issues. You're battling, you know, those mental demons that creep in when the struggles get really bad. And then, you know, lose a couple jobs, lose a couple roster spots because of it. And then, you know, what used to be just kind of a fun game that I was getting paid to play was now like kind of, in a way it feels like a life and death situation because you keep losing your job. You know, I'm moving my family around. The steady paycheck is gone. You're hoping to get that next contract, and it doesn't always come.
Daniel Barr joining us. I mean, so you're using words like life and death, demons. I mean, you can sense how serious and how dark they're starting to get. Like, from the outside, it would seem like if you go from dominating the American League to battling just to stay in the league and struggling to find control, it would be a terrifying thing. Like, what kind of thoughts were you having at that point, and what was your mental approach during that stretch?
Yeah, it was kind of all over the place, man. I was pretty young at the time, 27. Had a few little struggles in the minor leagues. Nothing, I guess, on par with that, and nothing that was in the public eye like that was, by doing it and taking place a lot of it with the Boston media and how much people care there. So it was different. It was a lot for me at that time, and hadn't been through anything that tough before, so I don't think I handled it as well as I could have. But, it was a grind, man. And then, bouncing around from team to team, ultimately kind of retiring from the game in 2017. That's a funny word to use when you're not that old to say retire. But, I was ready to move on. I went to the coaching side for 2 years with no intention of ever playing again. Had my mind set toward that, just being the best, doing like mental skills stuff with the Diamondbacks and trying to be the best at that I could and see where it led me. And very much to my surprise, it led me back to playing the game again. And it kind of gets back to where we are now.
Daniel Barr joining us. I definitely want to make that connection. Before I get there, I want to ask you one thing because this is really interesting. A lot of athletes tie their entire identities into what they do on the field or on the court, and their self-worth is connected to that. You've made the point that you knew baseball was important, but not the most important thing. How were you able to make that distinction, and then how significant was that to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you had asked me back then, how big of a part of my life baseball was, I probably would have kind of minimized it. My family's always been important. My faith was important and those things. It's easy to say until the baseball aspect is actually taken away. That ability that's been such a big part of what you do and where your confidence comes from, where a lot of the praise you receive comes from, when that's taken away, it really tests that. And, for me, I think it really had to happen in order to get me to the point I'm at now. It wasn't overnight. It took years, a lot of perspective shifting, some of it on purpose, some of it, out of necessity. And, that's definitely the biggest shift, I think, is just the way you view the game. Seeing life, for what it is, and that there's a lot bigger matters out there. There's more important things, like, for me, raising kids has really changed my perspective on a lot of things. And, you got to be patient with kids, and I think it in a way, it helps me be more patient with myself. Everybody's journey is a little different, and I'm just trying to keep learning along the way.
So much good stuff in that. Daniel Barr joining us. So Mike Hazen, who was with the Red Sox, was hired as GM of the Diamondbacks, and he wants you to join the organization as a mental skills coach and a mentor. So I'm curious, when you were a mental skills coach, what kind of conversations were you having with the players?
It was a little everything. It was a pretty wide-ranging role in a lot of ways. Some topics would be very baseball-focused, you know, helping guys through the on-field struggles, similar things that I had been through. And then it would range to off-field stuff, you know, relationship advice or, you know, just different kinds of anxiety, maybe away from the field. And the serious stuff, mental health type stuff, I would obviously refer them to someone who was more trained in that than I am. You know, but a lot of the stuff was just kind of like being a big brother to a lot of those minor league guys, and having been through a lot of the same stuff that they were going through, just lending an ear and you know, letting them know like life's going to go on or whatever it is, whatever they need to hear is what I tried to be there for. And the cool thing about it was, you know, I came out of it with, man, I think some lifelong friendships with the other staff members, with the Diamondbacks and players as well. So it was a great 2 years. I wouldn't change anything about it. And, you know, I think that was one of the biggest reasons that led me back to playing, got me my love for the game back, my love for, you know, being in the clubhouse, feeling like a contributor again, all those things that people miss.
Yeah, I mean, like, right, if that were the story and you had worked your way into that position and you were making a difference and impacting guys and developing these relationships, that in and of itself would have been absolutely amazing, but that's not where that ended. Like, the story goes, you started to play catch with the guys as well. Like, what were those sessions like, and when did you notice that, like, man, this is coming back to me?
Yeah, it just kind of happened organically, man. You know, I told the guys I worked with that, you know, I wanted to be on the field. I didn't want to be, you know, stuck in an office and have people have to come find me to have meetings or whatever. And I wanted to be on the field because that's where I'm comfortable. That's where I, you know, I'm good at forming those relationships. So I was on the field as much as I could, and I'd be out there shagging batting practice, playing catch with pitchers before the game, things like that. That any kind of extra coach would do. And I was doing it to get to know them and help them in different ways. And I just had a couple of them, I think it was last year in 2019, you know, saying, hey, you still got it, dude, you need to play again. And I was like, I initially just completely laughed it off. And you know, because I was so, that was so far from my mind, was ever playing again. And you know, the couple more guys said it, and I didn't know, it felt really good. Like, the throwing felt different than it had for those 5 years where I was struggling. And I think it just kind of slowly crept in, and then the off season hit this past winter, and you know, I continued to just play some catch back home to get my arm into like a really good position where I could actually get on a mound and test it out. And you know, got myself in shape and continually kind of surpassed my own expectations, and got to the point where I was like, I think I have to do this. Like, it wasn't an option anymore. It was just like, I'm being pulled back into this thing. And, you know, it's been awesome. It's been a cool experience, even if it ended tomorrow.
Yeah, but at the same time, it was not like this side hustle, like this thing you were doing on the side. Like, you, in your own words, right, you had to burn the boats. You had to leave your job as a coach. You had to go all in. Was that kind of a scary proposition? What was the mindset there?
Very much. You know, as good as I felt, throwing, and I knew I could, you know, throw the baseball in the mid-90s again. I was, you know, throwing strikes in these bullpen sessions. But what I hadn't done, I hadn't faced hitters. I hadn't faced major league hitters. I hadn't thrown in front of, you know, a lot of eyes that matter, a lot of, you know, fans, anything like that. So I really hadn't tested it, except I was like, okay, I knew I couldn't throw on a mound. I couldn't get on a mound and throw strikes for 5 years consistently. And now I can. So maybe it'll be different in all those situations too. And, I had to, I didn't want to like feel it out, like with the Diamondbacks. I didn't want to put them in an awkward position where I, you know, had 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Hey, can I throw some bullpens, but kind of keep my job and just see how it goes. And I knew that's just an awkward position to put them in, and they deserve better than that. So, you know, made the decision to quit that job and basically inform them I'm quitting. And the reason I'm quitting is because I want to pitch again. You know, kind of was hoping it would be with the Diamondbacks at first, and there was, you know, just because of conflict of interest, that wasn't possible because of the role I'd been in, with the relationships I'd been had with players, and which makes perfect sense. And so I had to do like a tryout, you know, 3 days after quitting my job. I was standing on a high school mound in Scottsdale, Arizona, with about 20 scouts that showed up. and you know, letting it go as much as I could, and that fortunately threw the ball really well that day and had several offers. I mean, it was kind of a crazy day.
Daniel Bard, my guest, amazing story. So you end up signing a minor league deal with the Rockies. The season restarts. You make the Rockies major league roster. Saturday, you entered your first major league game since 2013. Ultimately, you go an inning and a third against the Rangers. You throw 20 of your 25 pitches for strikes. You hit 98 on the gun. You get your first win, Daniel, since 2012. Can you put into words what that experience was like?
Man, all I can say is it's happening. It happened faster than I thought it would have. You know, I wouldn't have done this. I wouldn't have made the decision to pitch again if I didn't think all this was possible. But for it to happen as kind of as quickly as it has, you know, the quarantine, the time we were back home, was kind of the best thing that could have happened to me baseball wise. I was able to go home, throw to hitters back home like 10 or 12 times. In those weeks leading back up to our summer camp, and that really got me ready, not just to go and stand on the mound and pitch and, you know, hope to have a job, you know, in the minor league somewhere, but actually to go make a big league roster. So I didn't think it would all happen this fast. You know, I know it's felt good from the beginning, but, you know, it's definitely even surpassed my expectations. So but now it's just like everything's back and ready to go compete and help this team win games.
What an amazing journey. What an amazing story. He's a relief pitcher for the Colorado Rockies. I laid out the stats. Saturday's win was his first since 2012. Colorado's in first in the West, and they're at home against San Diego. Daniel, great story. I was really looking forward to hearing you and talking to you. Thanks for sharing that story, and I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it, man.
That was great. I really enjoyed that. That is an amazing story. I got a lot out of that. Daniel Bard, former first-round pick and out of the game for a number of years and came back as a mental coach, skills coach, and thought, you know what, I feel pretty good. I think I can still do this. And worked his way right back in. And now making a difference for a first-place team. Great, great story. All right, I ran really heavy on that, but that was that interesting, that good of a story. So now I break. Sports update right here. Alvin's Week That Was is coming up next. Here is the update. Here is Rich Ackerman. Let's hit that ATP Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Today's ATP, it is still the Bella B Invitational. Hi, Jim. Since the pandemic, what is something you have gotten so much better at? Thanks, Bella B. Life. Gotten better at life. Improved perspective. Improved outlook. A much better understanding of what's important and what's not. And I'm still processing that, but I would say life overall, Bella. Nice job, Bella. Way to dominate that thing. Alvin, are you ready to do what you do, or do you need more time? We do this every single week at this time. We recap the very best of the week. It is Alvin's look back at the week that was. Welcome to the jungle. What's going on? My name is Jim Rome. A tremendous Monday to you. Nice to have you here. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope your week's off to a good start. That was a really interesting weekend. From a sports standpoint, I am all over it. Let's get at it. We start with the Miami Marlins because they had themselves a weekend, didn't they?
Yeah! They never really considered not playing from my standpoint.
Despite having multiple positive tests for COVID in their clubhouse, they went ahead and they played their game anyway.
We're taking risks every day.
Fantastic job. And by fantastic job, I mean one of the dumbest things ever. And that could not have been hell any worse.
Email.
We have five words for the MLB season. Nice to know you. Goodbye. Yours, Incubus. You know what, Mike, for one of the few times you are helping him. My man, Brandon Boyd. Listen, whatever tomorrow brings, I'll be there.
When you're hauling nuts, swim on your back to keep your nuts dry. I'm out.
Speechless. There's a golden ticket in a call like that. Go ahead and give it to him.
You go,
Jerome. Just don't let it get wet.
The restaurant is still open. You can still go to Magic and get
it. For whatever reason, the Ike's chain changed their business model to Ike's strip club. I would become the second person ever to go to a strip club for the food. Yo, Van Smack, about the champagne room. Nah, I'm good. But I am here to get my Sando. Take that to go. A good feeling that somebody from Boise is going to come in and pick me up and make this better.
Lou wasn't there for the leg. He was there for the best clams in town.
Ah! I would never allow that on my show. That never happened. Jonathan Smith.
You know, what you know is what you got tomorrow, and we're going to play some games starting in the middle of September. Do we know exactly who we play the first game yet? No. And that's how we've approached it.
You're not getting brain surgery, right?
No. No.
Okay,
I need brain surgery because I'm always buying into the Mets garbage and their nonsense, Jim.
Got it.
But I am getting hip replacement surgery.
I don't put this in the nightmare category.
COVID crisis. Hey, man, I got your answer. And high five. Problem solved. Dodge that
I'm
bullet.
Trying to tell me that I can dodge bullets.
You have a nightmare on your hands.
I don't see it as a nightmare.
John Rahm, who are you listening to these days?
The latest album of Juice WRLD, R.I.P. His new songs are, you know, really, really good. It explains a lot of what was going through his mind. He's also a singer. I think a lot more people would enjoy that album.
You gotta eat that, though. Twitter!
You don't mess with Oak. Yours, Sonny Bono. Dude, I don't block people ever, but I'll make an exception in your case.
Fuck! You gotta take that, man. Yeah,
do it. Luke Walton joining us once again.
There's a couple really awkward silences that happened throughout the game that you kind of realize there's no fans there.
Bruce Feldman joining us.
You had DeForest Buckner's hands were over 11 and a half inches, the biggest that they've been measured at the combine. This guy's hands are almost a full inch bigger.
Whoa.
You know, it's just crazy.
Go crazy, Nick!
And that's over Bregman's head. And
what are you punishing Kelly for if you're saying he should be punished? For saying, nice swing, bitch?
Nice swing, bitch.
Good luck, Robbie. I'm sure you'll handle that perfectly like you've handled everything else in the past 12 months. Dave Roberts is joining us back in the jungle. Was he or the team looking to send a message to the Astros last night?
I'm going to say no. You know, we've all seen the video of him warming up and breaking his own window in his house.
Maybe he was looking to send the house a message. Maybe the window showed him up.
That's fair.
The shirt wasn't tucked in and the hat was backwards. That's a disgrace. Yeah, there are people that wake up at 3 in the morning to go cut the grass and mow the greens, and you treat the golf course like that, Jeff. Tuck that shirt in and put that hat forward. I want to see those shirts tucked in, all right? I want to see some long pants out there.
Way to go, Adam. One of your better efforts. He is Wesley Woodyard.
What's up, Jim? What's up, Jungle?
What keeps you coming back for more at this point?
Man, I just want to go out there and I want to use my platform of playing football to inspire other people to be better.
We go to Santa Barbara. Hello, Professor.
Love that Harvard of the West reference.
Walter Capps. He said to me, I want you to know, young man, you shape opinion. You have a significant responsibility with that microphone.
Oh, my God. I totally have goosebumps hearing that. That is so Walter.
Court gesture sidekick Ariel Helwani.
Chill. I've been carrying you on my shoulders, on my back for the last 2+ years. Frankly, I'm tired of it. And I feel like I just beat him 10-7. 10-8 maybe, probably 10-7.
Bad girl.
Move over, Chael Sonnen. Tito has a new rival, and his name is Silk Panties.
Silk Panties.
My calls make Silk Bra look like Silk Panties.
Silk Panties.
Bad girl.
Leans in short, gets it back and scores.
Trouble he had last night shooting the ball and then want the ball in that situation and miss that shot and come through with the follow the game winner. One thing went through my mind when I saw that. Oh! Chris Haynes got that good old fashioned spray paint deluxe. End quote. I mean, damn.
You know what, Rome? I think you invited me on the show just to ask me that
Nah.
Oh, man, I love the way you phrase that, Jim.
Your boy Silk Bra is going to be running for one of the 3 open seats on the city council.
There's a red ant coming out of it right there.
That's it.
Appreciate you.
Ichiro's the all time hit king.
Yo, let's get cracking.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Jim. Good talking.
Give my best to Reed Jr.
Jim, man, you continue being a great man. Love you and respect, bro.
Silk Panties.
Bad girl.
Loving his lines in his script.
Not sorry.
Bad call on my part. You know, one of many.
Nice swing, bitch.
Thank you so much for having me.
2 more freaking weeks.
Good night now.
I don't know what my favorite part of that is. There are so many things that made me laugh so hard. But
laugh
maybe
out
not
loud.
But maybe nothing more than Silk Panties. I don't know why. That's just really funny to me. I need the entire line, though, for the context, Alvy, for Silk Panties. That's incredible. All right, so I'm about to start another 2-week.
My calls make Silk Bra look like Silk Panties.
My calls make Silk Bra look like Silk Panties.
My calls make Silk Bra look like Silk Panties.
It's Mike and Indy, of course.
Bad girl.
My call is make Silk Bra look like Silk Panties.
Silk Panties.
Silk Panties Silk is panties. Running for Huntington Beach City Council.
Bruh.
Against Tito Ortiz.
Bad girl.
What year? What a year 2020 is. So we're about halfway through. Obviously more than halfway through. And as I get ready to leave for another two-week break.
2 weeks!
Silk Panties is running against Tito Ortiz, possibly, for Huntington Beach City Council. And that's not a headline from The Onion. That's a real thing. Silk Panties may be running Silk against panties. Tito Ortiz. Hey, man, I hope they both get seats. I may make that one of my beats. I may cover the Huntington Beach City Council if that goes down. All right, I got to get up out of here. I am off in the next 2 weeks. Do me a favor. Check me. Do it right now so you don't have to think about it. Follow me on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram at Jim Rome. Follow me on Instagram at Jim Rome. I will do my best to document my next 2 weeks on vacation. Check us out on Spotify, too, going forward. Everybody have a great, great time. Thanks for listening. See you next time. I am out.